thank you, choir. As we come to our time, or prayer time this morning, I just want to share a few prayer requests for you. An email went out earlier this week, and we want to pray, continue to pray for Martin Center and his family and the passing of Robin Center on Tuesday. Also want to continue to pray for Miss Joyce Ann Crane, who starts her chemo this week as well. Miss Margaret Barnett has had good reports where the tumor seems to be shrinking, but she's scheduled for 2 more weeks of chemo and radiation. So if you would, continue to keep Miss Margaret in your prayers also. Tim Wells, we've been praying for Tim for a while for a kidney transplant. He's scheduled for that for Thursday. If you would, pray for him and Tina and the family too as he goes for that. We pray that everything will take place this time. This will be the third time now they've been set up for this, and twice before we're not able to receive that kidney. And so if you would, pray for them. And then lastly, I want to pray for Wasatch Cowboy Church. As you saw that video about Annie Armstrong, they are a Southern Baptist-affiliated church plant that is 5 years old. And so we're looking forward to being there in July to be able to worship with them. Don't know exactly how far along they're going to be with their building, but if you want to just get a glimpse of how quickly God is blessing and see the excitement there, and for some of you that experienced that as we went through this as well, you can look on Facebook, and they have a Facebook page, and you can see that the building is actually erected now. They're in the dry. And so praise the Lord for that as they're getting excited about what God is doing too. And also I can just only imagine those in the community that they've already been touching lives and pouring into them and have expressed an interest in wanting to come that do not have belief in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but are excited about what is taking place there because of their excitement. Now, as they're excited, it's good to be excited, but it's also good to be plain and clear in presenting the message of the gospel. And so that's what we'll be going out for, is to try to come alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ to teach them how to share their faith, how to share their testimony, and how to be greeters, to welcome people to the church and love on them when they come. And so if you'll continue to pray for the team, we'll have that in the bulletin, those who are going on the trip. Pray for that team, not only for those here, but also those from the church at Lake Cooley that will be joining us, that we will bond in that unity and love the Lord Jesus Christ and love our brothers and sisters in Christ and love those who are lost there in Utah as well. But let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, pray for a time of worship today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this time that we have to come and to worship you, Lord, as the body of Christ. Lord, I thank you for this particular body of Christ, Lord, that Ebenezer welcome. Lord, that you have called us and placed us here, Lord, and you have put us in our Jerusalem here, Lord, in the area around Blue Ridge. And Lord, you have given us a place to be a lighthouse here in the facilities that we have here for over 140 years, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the witness of those who've gone before us. And Lord, we pray that as that torch has been passed to us, Lord, that we too would be faithful and obedient to you and the heavenly vision that you give us, Lord, in reaching our Jerusalem, and to reach also into Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost ends of the earth. Lord, I pray for Ashley as I think about that, as she is in Central Asia. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for faithfulness of those who have been called and the obedience to go. But Lord, I pray for faithfulness and obedience here too as we sing songs, Lord, about serving you, worshiping you. Lord, that each of us will be faithful in fulfilling the responsibilities and the calling that you've placed upon our lives, Lord, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, to lift up and edify, to build up the body of Christ. Lord, that we would look to the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we would seek to be a well-pleasing, sweet-smelling aroma to you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as we come today, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Christ that we've mentioned, who are going through times of physical difficulties. Lord, I pray for Miss Joyce. I pray, Lord, for Miss Margaret. Lord, I pray for Tim, Lord, as he is awaiting surgery. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the Center family. Lord, you tell us that when one is rejoicing, we rejoice with them. And when one is hurting and sorrow, we sorrow with them, Lord. And Lord, our hearts go out to them, Lord. And I pray that our Christian love would go out to them as well. Lord, to remind them of your grace and your mercy that you've extended to those who place their faith in you. And Lord, that with that, there's hope. And Lord, even though we grieve, there's a different kind of hope. Lord, I pray for Ms. Ruth Gordon's daughter-in-law, Renee, Lord, as she was in an accident. Lord, there's some surgery coming up. I pray for you to guide the hand of the physician. And Lord, for that surgery to go well. And Lord, for her to be able to just give praise to you. Lord, as we come to hear your word today, and Lord, to participate in the Lord's Supper, I pray that even now, Lord, we would all begin to examine our hearts and our lives. Lord, hopefully that we've already done that before we even come here today. But Lord, as we're here, Lord, to understand that what we'll do in just a little bit is not a ritual. It's not just a rite of passage. But Lord, it's a time that we remember what you did for us there at Calvary. And we'll continue to do that until you return. Lord, in honor and view of worshiping you is one of the ordinances of the church. But Lord, I pray now your word would not return void. Lord, you'll be lifted up and draw men, women, and boys and girls to yourself. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We're in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 8. But I just want to kind of just share with you from the first portion of this scripture here is that Paul is talking about our walk with the Lord, our relationship with the Lord on a daily basis. And so Paul has taught doctrine primarily in chapters 1 through 3. In chapters 4 through 6, he is talking about applying that doctrine to our lives, the understanding of God's word, that we not only know God's word, but as James says, that we'll be doers of God's word, and that we would try to live our lives in such a way that we would honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, honor the sacrifice that he made for us, rejoice in the salvation that we have that was given through his death, burial, and resurrection through repentance and faith in Christ alone. But also just to remember too that we have all been gifted and given gifts to be used for the edification and the lifting up of the body of Christ, and that we need to be those servants that God has called us to be and set us apart to be. But to also remember who we are and where we came from. Not so that we can have this elitist sense of our arrogance to be and thinking that we are someone special in the sense that we are better than others that are not followers of Christ, or to look down or to condemn them, but that we can be reminded of the grace that we have received, and we can be reminded of the grace that we receive each and every day as we seek to live and walk in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with our brothers and sisters in Christ and fellow man. And so as we begin this morning, we're going to begin in verse 8. And Paul, writing here to the church at Ephesus, said, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." Now, just previously, Paul had told us in verses 6 through 7, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." And so he's telling us there that we're to be separate. And as he comes to this point, he's talking about not only are we to walk in love, but we're to walk in the light of God's word, God's will, and God's Spirit. And as he is talking to us about that today, he's talking about really just abiding in Christ. Now, you're going to hear a lot of language as Paul speaks to us today. It sounds very similar to the Apostle John. When you read over in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, he compares those contrasts between light and darkness. And so as he is bringing those things out, it's very apparent as we are studying God's word today that there's black and white, there's right, there's wrong, there's truth, and there's untruth. But there's no gray area in between. You know, it's amazing how when we try to justify our sins, we always try to seek to find that gray area that we can look for to try to say, well, for this reason or that reason, you know, God understands, or he's going to give me a free pass. Or let me just say this, there are no free passes in sin. Is God is a righteous God and a righteous judge. And with that also, he is one who hates sin. And there's the wrath of God to face for those who sin and continue habitually in sin. And that's what Paul is reminding us of. Remember where you came from. Now, he's not talking about your socioeconomic background. He's talking about a spiritual condition here. He's talking about coming from darkness of being those who are committed to the devil, who are committed to this world. because of the sin and our for giving into that sin nature. And he had told us over in verses 18 and 19, he said, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. This is in chapter four, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling had given themselves over to lewdness, to all uncleanness with greediness. And he's saying, listen, as he's mentioned verses 1 through 7, every one of us, as I preached about last Sunday, there's something there that may be a temptation. It may be a matter that we step into that sin, and it may be that we could fall into that sin through whatever means. But let me just say this, those sins are not uncommon. But what Paul says is that we're not to stay there habitually. And it is, there's a difference between one who is a professing believer in Christ and one who is not a believer in Christ, in our conduct, in our actions, and in our words. And so as Paul begins here, he is really trying to challenge us to be aware of our lives before Christ. But yet the main thing is he says, now you are light in the Lord and walk as children of light. Because he goes into verse 9 to say there's something that bears fruit here, and that's with our, the Spirit of God within us. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit, as we refer to over in Galatians, is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, when he talks about goodness, is there, he's talking about the fact that that goodness comes from God, and it's identifying with the goodness of God and his gift of salvation, his understanding that we are sinners and loving us still because of that. And we can do good things, but yet it's not about us and what we do. It's about the Lord God himself. And the things that we do that are good are the things that come from God. The things that we, as we receive God's goodness, we often in grace extend that goodness to others as well. And he's also talking about, too, here, not only goodness, but he says righteousness. Now, that is talking about righteousness. He's talking about a right character before God and a righteous conduct among men. Now, we all know that we're not perfect. We all know that even as those who are followers of God that are saved, that we will sin because of that old sin nature. We're going to give into it at some point. But what he's saying is that should not be a matter of conduct for your life that is consistent as describing who you are or indicating who you are because of that conduct of those who delve back into sin habitually and repeatedly over and over and over again. But it should be of those who not only do good things for folks, for the Lord to be pointed out and lifted up as we do that, but also that we live in such character that we seek to do the things of God's word and God's will as the Spirit convicts us of our sin. We ask for forgiveness, and we try to continue to live a life of commitment to the Lord God himself. And so that we experience and live out the goodness of God, the righteousness of God, and truth is the thing that brings all this together, and that truth is God's word. And as we are seeking to do the good things of the Lord and his kingdom, as we're seeking to live a life of righteousness, the only way we can do that is by continually abiding in God's word, and God's word abiding in us. But not only that, too, but as we will hear in just a little bit, that we abide in the word of God and that we obey the will of God, and that we follow the Spirit of God. And so, you know, when you look at these things, God has a special plan and purpose for each of our lives as followers of Christ. He has a plan and purpose for everyone who would commit their lives to him. And with that, you have a purpose in life. And, you know, when I think about some of the greater things that people deal with is so many people wander through life not sure exactly what is my purpose. Well, we were created that we might fellowship with God, that we might worship God, and that we might glorify God. And that with that, as we become followers of God, we have that purpose in life. That's part of our mission, is that we would point others to him as we live our daily lives in a way that they too would receive the light. They too would experience the gift of salvation. They too would place their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as Paul is challenging those of Ephesus' day, he's challenging us too. And I know as we come to this point just a little bit, some of you are going to say, well, this is probably referring more to the new believer. You know, as I've looked out around here today, I've looked at those that many have come to faith here or followed through a believer's baptism here as well and acknowledging their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's encouraging seeing young believers getting involved and growing by through discipleship and growing in the fact of serving together and being challenged to use those gifts that God's given them and having the ability to step in and do that unhindered, unimpeded, to be able to not have to say, wait for someone to say, would you help me with something before they can get involved in serving in the church? And but that they can then begin to grow, because when you serve the Lord, when you study God's word, it's a process of discipleship where you're gaining understanding of God's word and you're also living out God's word and you're growing as a disciple of Christ. It's called discipleship. And sometimes we make it this very difficult process that we think you have to go through when Jesus said we come to faith with a childlike faith, but also this is a matter of just spending time together with iron sharpening iron, pouring into one another, loving one another, teaching the word, living life together where that you can experience God's word lived out in your life and acknowledging what God is doing in your life. And so what Paul begins to make a difference, saying here, and it makes a difference here, is that there's a difference between your life now, if you're a follower of God, than there was before you came to God, and that you were walking in sin and darkness before, and now you should be walking in light of the word of God and the will of God and the spirit of God now as a believer. And so as he's saying that, he brings out the point in verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Now, if you think about your life before Christ, and I'm not trying to glorify sin, because he'll talk about that in just a little bit too, is sometimes we spend too much time in testimonies to glorify our lives before Christ and telling all the things, sometimes even all the details that aren't even necessary about the fact that we were a sinner and we were rooted in sin. But the thing Paul's saying here is that we quit looking for what's so-called acceptable to the world. We quit worrying about what other people are going to think if we don't walk like them, act like them, and talk like them in the world. But we begin to do the things of God, and we begin to separate ourselves, and we begin to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the reason that we're separating ourselves in some sense, because there are things that we cannot partake in, we cannot participate in, that we may have even before. You know, I can remember that I had drank before, and I remember going out of town with a couple of friends there on a fishing trip. It was through business, and it was a long trip. And when I stepped inside, they were already inside there, and they had all ordered three alcoholic drinks to sit there. And I just grabbed mine and pushed it aside. And when the waitress came, I said, "Can I have some sweet tea?" And they said, "Look, nobody's around. Nobody's going to say anything. We know you're this Christian now, but you know you don't have to worry about that. Nobody's going to say anything." I said, "But I will know, and God will know." You see, there's a difference that not only your actions, but that you have to be willing to speak up and identify what is the change in your life. Who is the change in your life? And is that your first love now is Jesus Christ? You see, folks, that's what Paul's beginning to delve into here as we enter even more specifically into the home here in later in the chapter and in the workplace. You see, some people want to say, well, I'm this way, or I try to be this way when I'm with the church or I'm at the church. But when I leave here and I go out into the world in the week, you know, preacher, you got to understand. I mean, it's a tough place in the workforce. And, you know, sometimes you got to do certain things. Let me just say this. You don't have to do anything that you choose not to do. Sometimes it may be worth changing jobs if you're not given the freedom and the opportunity to be who you are in Christ. And I know we live in a country that's supposed to be with freedom of speech and all these things, but yet in many ways they try to put limits on Christians being able to share their faith and give testimonies and be open and about those things in the workplace. But let me just say is you can do that with your actions first and build relationships and then share with those folks as you pray with them. Let me just say is you're living a life that's different around people, they will begin to recognize that as those who are not believers. And sadly, they will recognize the difference sometimes between those who profess to be believers and then those who are living their lives as believers. And with that, they will often come to you with their problems. They'll often come to you and ask for advice. They'll often come to you and say, what is it that's different about your life? Well, when they begin to ask those things, you're not in any way trying to force anything on them. They're giving you permission to do that. So you can be salt and light in the workplace too. And so Paul is challenging us here that we need to seek the thing that is acceptable to the Lord. You know, he said over in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, there has to be a transformation of the mind, and that with that transformation that we would then know and do the things that are acceptable and are pleasing to the Lord. And so when we talk about regeneration and new birth and we talk about transformation, it is that that old person has died and you've died to that self and you are dying daily to the Lord Jesus Christ in the sense that you're taking up the cross, denying yourself and following him. And that's what Paul's really referring to here is going into that message of the gospel is that as those that are different, those that are walking in the light, when you enter into a place of darkness, that darkness is exposed, as we'll see in just a moment here. And that with that, that's why a lot of times when you invite people, would you want to come to church with me? Why don't you come to church with me this Sunday? And even when we're having a fellowship meal or something, it's like, we'll give you a free meal and everything. There's a lot of times people are like, oh, I appreciate it, but I got something else to do this Sunday. I can't come. And they make excuses about why they don't want to come. It's because the uncomfortableness of the sin or the lifestyle being exposed by the light of God's word. And they don't want that exposure. They don't want to be called out or confronted that way, even lovingly in a sense of the word confronting them and speaking truth to them. They do not want to deal with it. They do not want to hear it because they are complacent with lives lived in the world because they want to be like everybody else. You know, when you finally come to a point when you're not concerned about being pleasing to men, but you're being concerned about being pleasing to God, you'll find out what it means to do what's acceptable to the Lord. But if all you want to do is be pleasing to everybody and be everybody's friend and everybody's buddy, then you're going to probably remain just like the world. But there comes a time when you have to decide and say, listen, I'm going to acknowledge what God has done in my life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And with that, I'm going to live my life for him boldly. I'm not going to run around in the sense of say, hey, and you know, like, oh, well, what's his name on The Voice does over there saying, hey, like, pick me, pick me. You know, not saying, hey, look at me because of who I am. But because you live your life in such a way that people see there's a difference. And they know there's a difference because what you say matches up with what you do and how you do it. Your character is above reproach. And so Paul is challenged that we walk in the light. And he gives a word, too, about the light that it repudiates that darkness, as I was alluding to just a moment ago. He says in verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. You know, as he talks about not having fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, I know a lot of times people can take that and they can't kind of think, well, that means that for all my friends that I had before and all the sin that I was participated in and seemed to enjoy and revel in for a season in my life is I've got to just turn my back on them and walk away from them, never to speak to them again. Can I tell you, and listen closely, there may be some circumstances with some that you have to do that. That's a hard decision to have to make. But also, there could be that opportunity that you may be the very one that could actually, through your relationship, witness to them, live your life before them, not partaking in what they're doing like you used to, but because you said, listen, guys, I love you, but I can't participate in that anymore, but I still want to be your friend, and I still want to do things with you, and you choose some things that maybe you can help guide what you do, and in an environment where you're not into that temptation or whatever sin it was you were participating in before, that you might can still have an influence in those lives to point them to Christ. Because, see, we've read before where they had, you know, covenants, and they had convents and things where people would just go and want to live alone, or they want to live there with only other believers. And can I tell you today, we live in a time that many churches is they want to huddle up in these holy huddles, and they want to say, listen, I don't want to go back out in the world. It's a mean, dark place out there. And I don't want to go out trying to witness to nobody. I just want to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just want to worship God. I want to study His Word, and I want to know God's Word. And I want to just learn everything I can about Jesus. Well, let me just say, somewhere along the way, people fail to learn. He said, go and make disciples. They take every other part of Scripture about, you know, how it's important to learn the Word and show yourself approved and all those things. But they leave out those Scriptures that says, get up out of your pew and think about that person out there, that brother, that sister, that friend, that neighbor, that family member that's lost, and go tell them about me. Go tell them about Jesus. You know, and so we justify, or we find reasons why we can kind of conveniently forget those Scriptures. We can quote them when we ask, but we're not actually participating in being on mission for God. And so when we do that, we're not being acceptable to the Lord. We're not being that sweet-smelling aroma that He was talking about earlier. But He's saying, don't participate with those who bear the fruits and the works of darkness, but rather expose them. You know what He's saying to them? When He's saying expose them, the light of the gospel, when you come into their presence, exposes the darkness of their sin. And He's saying, love them in Christ that are lost. Point them to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that salvation is found only in Christ. There's no hope apart from Him. Share the gospel regularly and expose the darkness to light. That's what He's referring to. Now, the other thing He mentions here is it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. There are some things, some sins, some things that people do that are so despicable, so dark, so awful, so sinful, that we don't need to give light to that in speaking in the presence of young, innocent children and those kind of things. And I think sometimes pastors and others want to get all sensual about things, and they want to get in to try to right on the edge of things and think that's going to get people's attention. Let me just say this, is don't glorify sin. There's some sins that are just so bad you don't even need to speak of them. But the other thing is if you're not careful as you begin to talk about those things, you may not even know. You may think that I am so strong in my faith, this is not in any way something I would consider or a temptation, and so I'm not even going to go there. It doesn't even bother me, and I can talk about it that way. Don't fool yourself. Pride comes before the fall. There are areas that you just need to avoid speaking about publicly with people, because you may tempt someone else along that line. Because they become curious about something. They want to find out what you're talking about. They begin to inspect it. And with phones and computers today, there's a lot that can be found out about these things, about the things of the world. And with that, you could help point someone down the wrong path of darkness instead of pointing them to the light, and pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul also says in closing here that light regenerates. He says, but in all things that are exposed, all things that are exposed are made manifest or made known by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, He says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You know, He says that when we enter into areas of darkness, it's just like going into a cave. I remember going to Mammoth Caves years ago, and they take you in, and some of you have been there before, and it's like while you're there, they take you in, everything's lit up, and you can see everywhere you're going with the light that you have there, and you get to a certain point, they said, okay, don't anybody move, just stay perfectly still. We're going to turn all the lights out, and we're going to let you see what total darkness looks like. And I want to tell you, if you've ever been there, you know, anytime you walk into a room from light to darkness, there's a period of time when you walk into there, it's like your eyes have to adjust. And after a little bit, you can begin to see glimmers of light through the shades in a room or something. And you can begin to pick up. But when you're in a cave like that and you're in total darkness, You're looking for that light, and you want that light to come back on, because all of a sudden all these things begin to run through your mind, and the things that you maybe you have fears about, especially as a young child, as I was in that cave, is you're sitting there thinking about, you know, holding on to your parents' hand and stuff, thinking, I'm ready for them to turn that light on any minute. But what a relief when they turn on just a flashlight. And you could see how even that flashlight, as they pointed in different areas, it exposed the darkness. And wherever there was light, there was no darkness. Keep that in mind. For some that will want to ride the fence and saying, well, I'm going to make a profession of faith, and I'm going to get my name on a church roll, and I'm going to be baptized, and I want to try to tell everybody that I'm a Christian, but yet you want to still live out in the world, and you still want to do the things of habitual sin and then profess to be a follower of Christ, is there's no place in the light for darkness. You cannot ride the fence. Either you are a follower of God or you're not. There's no in between. As I said before, there's no gray area. And so the light repels or exposes the darkness. But he quotes kind of a paraphrase from Isaiah chapter 60 here. As he's quoting here, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, when he says, awake you who sleep, he's referring to those who are dead in their trespasses of sin. And he's talking about a resurrection here when he says, awake. It says, come alive, be revived, be resurrected from that life of darkness and sin to the life of light. You know, on that first Easter Sunday, and we're about to celebrate Easter here soon, is everything changed. Because before, you were in sin and death because you died. And then after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, for those who had placed their faith in Christ, there was also the hope of eternal life. And because of his death, burial, and resurrection, we have that hope and we have that promise as followers of God. So we're awakened from and resurrected from our death to life in Christ. He says, arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. You know, that light he's talking about is salvation. And for you today, if you receive that gift of salvation, is that you live out and work out your salvation each and every day, the scripture talks about. Now, we know that we can't earn our salvation through works. But where the scripture comes together in all this is as we are walking in the light and walking in the love of God, we are working out our salvation in the sense that we are following God. You know, nowhere in the scriptures do I read where he says, come and be saved and sit in our pew and just learn everything you can about me. No, he says, come follow me. And folks, if you're not on a journey with the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually, by walking with him each and every day, spending time in his word, getting to know and understand more about who he is and the different characteristics of God, from the fact that he's a God of love, he's a God of joy, he's a God of peace, he's a God of wrath, he's a God of justice, he's a God of righteousness, all these things. He's a jealous God, wanting those things that are his. And maybe you're here today and you made a commitment at some point, but you've gone back out into the world and you're living in the world. You're more in the world than you ever were walking with God. Maybe it's time you just need to humble yourself and get on your knees and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me my sin. Cleanse me and restore me in that relationship with you. Maybe it's just time you need to come and recommit your life to him. But if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, arise from the dead, the trespasses of your sin, being dead in your sin, through faith in Christ, repent or turn from your sin and turn to Christ and ask him to forgive you and to save you and commit your life to him and be saved. We're going to have a time of invitation. This invitation is for you that the Lord is speaking to today. Anybody can come to this altar. And this is not a place of shame. It's a place of victory. And I invite you this morning Don't worry what people think. Quit worrying about that. Seek to be pleasing to God and do the things that God would have you to do. Commit yourself to Him today. And whatever way the Lord's speaking to you, I invite you to come at this time. Let us stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that's here. And Lord, I know that your word does not return void. And Lord, I pray, Lord, in whatever way you're speaking to the hearts and lives of your people today, maybe you're drawing some boy, some girl, some man, some woman to yourself for salvation. Lord, I pray that they would acknowledge you today as Lord and Savior, commit their lives to you, and Lord, receive that gift of salvation. Lord, for the man or woman, boy or girl, Lord, who is needing just to confess sin today. Lord, just needing to just say, Lord, help me in my unbelief. Lord, that they would come today seeking to be reunited to you in the sense of being forgiven, being cleansed, and Lord, being in a close relationship with you. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.